Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Fishing in a stream, the great outdoors.
Volpe joins us once again with Utah State Parks and Recreation. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you and everyone else listening. It's so great to be back with you.
It is a thrill having you back on the program again. We're excited to be talking about these fun opportunities as we approach the holiday season.
My goodness, the parks have been really planning some fun stuff for the holidays this year. I'm definitely excited to talk about it.
It's the perfect way to cap off the season with all these different activities. And if you're looking for those last-minute gift ideas, some of these opportunities will take you to places where you can get some fantastic gift ideas, too.
Even if you check out the gift shops, you might be surprised at what some of these parks have in their gift shops. So I've gotten stuff for friends there before for holiday gifts. You can find some really neat things. So keep that in mind if you end up at one of these events.
I know there's some holiday markets. Even as a gift idea looking ahead, I mean, you can get some of these light viewing opportunities. You can get some tickets for that for the family to see the holiday lights. And there's just something for everyone with Utah State Parks.
There really is. We try to make sure there's something for people that want to be inside and outside. There's driving through the different winter wonderlands we've created, or might just be a cozy winter hike.
Before we start talking about individual activities, the ultimate gift for any recreationist is those annual passes. And now's the best time to get those.
Yes, in fact, I heard this morning that the passes are officially here. They are being distributed to the regions. So those official passes should go on sale probably, I would think, this week. I would bet we're trying to get them in time for the rush. So keep an eye on the website. We'll announce it for sure when they're out. But I've seen them. They're really cool, and they should be out real soon.
For folks who have never purchased an annual pass before, what is the annual pass? How do they work?
So the annual pass allows day's access for the individual that purchased it and then seven other people in the same car. And what's cool is you can actually share your pass with another person. So if it's two people in the household or roommates, or you just want to share it with your best friend, we can have two names on the pass, and that pass gets you and seven other people in your car into any of the state parks. There's a couple of little limitations. I can go over those at the end here, but very, very minor. But it gets you day use access to the parks, and they're really handy to have, and you'll save a little money. You can get them online, or you can get them in person. At most of the state parks, they'll have them, region offices, even the bookstore at the DNR offices downtown. And the only place this pass wouldn't be valid is this is the place Heritage Park or the Jordan River OHV. And it doesn't cover the causeway fee at Antelope Island. Other than that, you're getting a really awesome deal. And sometimes they'll give you discounts at the gift shops and things like that if you do have an annual pass. Just kind of depends on the park. But they're really good to have.
They really are. It's kind of that open gate to all these different state parks and opportunities within them. And there are always opportunities. There's always an activity, as we've been talking about over the years. There's always something to check out. And if you visit a state park every weekend, I mean, you'll have a fresh weekend with as many parks as coming online.
Yeah, we have 46 of them, plus the monuments and all the other fun things you can do around the state. So if you're going to get an annual pass to Disneyland, then you live in Utah, it's a lot further to go. You probably won't get as much bang for your buck. But a state park's annual pass, you have one of those probably in your backyard.
Exactly. It's a passport for adventure and passport to the museums. That's a passport to historical opportunities, recreation opportunity, as well as entertainment.
Yeah, and some of them are very educational. You could take your kiddos. Some of them are hikes, but they're not all outdoorsy. You don't have to exclude yourself if you feel like that's maybe not your thing. You don't want to go hiking or paddleboarding. There's all sorts of events. We truly try to have something for everyone. So be sure to check out our events calendar at stateparks.utah.gov. And there's almost always something going on around the state.
If you're a boater, if you're an angler, it doesn't take too many visits to pay that off.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, if you're somebody like our director is a big fan of fishing at state parks. And we said that when he retires, that that's pretty much where we're going to find him is at state parks.
I believe it. I fully believe it. I mean, there are so many great opportunities. And again, you can purchase them online. If you don't even want to get out of your jammies, you can just get them ordered and it'll come right to you.
Yep, they'll mail them to your house. And they're cool. They have a little lanyard similar to the ones from this year's. So you can hang it around your neck or hang it around your rearview mirror. So so that they know you paid for parking. But they're a lot handier. They'll fit in your wallet if you're riding a bike instead of having to have the big long ones that hang from the rearview mirror. Try to make them a little more user-friendly.
It is nice. Another fun opportunity to consider for the holidays is renting a cabin, renting a yurt. If you're looking for those outdoor experiences, spending time with your family, oftentimes away from the Wi-Fi and the cell signals, this is an opportunity to bring your family together, some quiet time, and just enjoy the quiet outside. And I know we've done this before for Thanksgiving. It's a great one for Christmas, those holiday parties. Get your family together and enjoy some great food in a different location. It gets them out of their routine and gets us together and connecting in different ways.
And there's so many different options. It doesn't have to be a cabin. Some of the parks have RVs you can rent, or wagons, or yurts, camper trailers, all sorts of different options scattered around the state. But some of them will hold quite a few people. So if you're having some type of big family get-together for the holidays, that might be a really fun option to get everyone away from the hustle and bustle and rent out a cabin or a yurt or whatever you might find.
Well, just magical. I mean, you get out there, and if you get some snowshoes, if you have cross-country skis with you, you can go out on a moonlit hike. You can listen to the owls at night. Listening to that crunch under your feet with that crisp snow, looking at those skies, the heavens above, it is just magical. It is a really, really fun opportunity, and it's so quiet this time of year.
I was going to say that. It's a completely different experience camping, even if you're in a cabin, in the winter versus the summer months. It just feels different, and it is a little bit more magical.
And again, there's been so many new opportunities placed online this past year. I mean, Antelope Island has these small, tiny houses available. There's so many different places now. I mean, it's just expanding everywhere.
Yeah, we've got the tiny cottages are going in at a bunch of the parks. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head where we've got them. I know Echo's got one, East Canyon. I can't remember if that one's park housing or if that's available to rent yet, but I've been inside a bunch of them, and I would buy one to live in. They're so cool, like little mini houses, but they're really functional and very, very fun.
Cozy and warm and fun, and you don't need to bring your own propane or anything for these like you would with your own personal tent or RV. Everything's provided.
Yeah. If you get on our social media, you can watch a video of the walkthrough of the one at Echo, so you can kind of get a feel for what they're like inside. But they have normal-sized mattresses. They're not camper mattresses. They're real and comfy, and there's a little kitchen and a bathroom and even a grill outside. They're pretty fancy.
Pretty much all you need to bring is your clothing, your food.
Mm-hmm.
You need to bring your sleeping bag and everyone you want to bring with you, I guess.
Yeah, but I would definitely check those out. And if there's a park near you that maybe you haven't really looked into, see what camping options they have available. It's not always just a tent on the ground. There might be something really cool in your backyard that you don't know exists.
Agreed. Where do they go for these reservations?
Check out stateparks.utah.gov, and from there you can navigate to any of the different parks. There's all sorts of different resources to help you based on the activity. If you're looking based on boating, or if you're more interested in camping or our dark sky program, there's all sorts of fun ways to sort things. But there's just a main drop down at the top, too, that has all of the parks right in a row. And if you know the one you're looking for, just go right there.
I like the little search tool as well, where you can search opportunities that maybe you haven't discovered yet. If you had a specific window, you can see where openings are still available.
Yeah. Yeah, because the camping reservations tend to fill up quickly because people try to book things in advance. But some parks do still have first-come, first-serve options, and there are still available options at a lot of places. It is winter, so not quite as popular. Well, not quite winter yet, but close enough. Not quite as popular of a camping season, so you might have more luck getting one of those cabins if you haven't had a chance yet.
And looking ahead a little bit, New Year's Eve is a special time also to rent one of these yurts or cabins or tiny cottages. It's a fun opportunity, and then when you wake up on the first day of the year, you know you've started the year off right with Utah State Parks. In some cases, you can actually go on one of these first-day hikes, too.
Yeah, we've got a couple of them that have already scheduled theirs. I bet there's more that are going to come online.
It's so different at one of these locations. I mean, you just have a different attitude. It's so beautiful at many of these parks. And again, they're much, much quieter than they are during the summer months.
Well, and they're doing some fun themes.
And if you check out the Audubon site, I know the Christmas bird counts will be starting up pretty quick here, and many of them do cross over many of our state parks.
Yeah, they do, and some of the parks will update that on their website when it does happen. I don't always hear about it, but I love to hear about it when it does happen.
Even if you don't know all the birds, other than it's a little brown, gray bird or something, it's an opportunity for me usually. If I hang around these people, I usually pick up a few things. I begin to learn the names of the birds and to what to look for when I see them. And if you hang around with these guys, you'll learn some neat things.
Yeah, I thought I was a bird nerd, but I've met some incredibly knowledgeable people at state parks that make me think I know very, very little. But it's so cool to go out and learn about the animals and the different bird life that is out there on Great Salt Lake. Should be a fun time to learn a lot more from someone very knowledgeable.
Well, the Great Salt Lake is such a thoroughfare for so many different migrating birds, in addition to ones that stick around year-round. And it is amazing. If you start spending a little time with your binoculars out there, your spotting scope, man, you'll start seeing a lot of things you didn't expect out there.
Yeah, if you ever have a fun, free afternoon, take some binoculars and just go hang out and see how many different kinds of birds you'll spot. It's amazing.
Check out the Audubon website. They have the Christmas bird counts. You can link in, and a lot of times you have to register for them. They only have so many spaces available sometimes. And if you don't see one that's available at this moment, it ranges about 3 weeks or 4 weeks or so, usually throughout December and into the first week of January.
Very fun.
While we're talking about wildlife a little bit, we want to make sure that we remind folks to give wildlife a little extra room this time of year. These animals are oftentimes stressed. They have so much fat with them, especially deer and some of these other animals, and browse becomes a little more hidden because of snow cover sometimes. As a result, it can be very stressful for them. So give them a little extra wiggle room. Don't crowd them. Don't make them feel uncomfortable so that they stress and lose unnecessary energy, storage of fat in their bodies.
Yeah, those are great tips. We always recommend look from afar and appreciate from afar, but don't approach. Don't put yourself or the animals in danger by getting too close. You don't know how they're going to react, then it's better to keep yourself safe.
Right now, I know I'm already getting calls about the snowmobile season. I know a lot of people are getting really excited after the coming off the heels of this past snowmobile season, a record season. I know people are anxious to find out when the trails are opening again. And I know that it's usually right around the second week of December, but oftentimes that changes based on the snowpack and what's available.
Yeah, it's always going to depend on how much snow we get, but I do know I'm hearing all of the parks are working on winterizing and getting ready for that, and grooming trails and things. So I think as soon as we've got snow, we'll start updating, but I anticipate that it probably will come sooner than later this year.
I think it's got a good chance. The switch seems to be switching about now.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's, you can feel it.
I can feel it. I know something's happening, and so it's that time of year when people get real excited. But while people are waiting, it's a good time right now to take those avalanche safety courses. If you need a refresher course, it's a good time to make sure all your gear's working well, make sure your sled is going to run and ride properly, get those tune-ups taken care of, see if there's any damage that needs to be taken care of. I've been at the trailhead a couple times and then not being able to get the sled started. It's not a very fun start to a fun adventure that day.
You always recommend that to people, and you give them such great advance notice, and I hope people listen to you. Just take the time right now. Go through all of your gear that you might be using. If you're going to have your life jackets out for any reason, make sure they don't have any tears or rips and that they're still clean and dry and ready to go. And check your helmets. Anything you're going to be using, just give it a once-over. Make sure everything's still working and in good condition, and that you're not going to have any unfortunate surprises when you do get out in the cold.
Fresh batteries in the transceiver for the avalanche beacon. Make sure that's up and running. Make sure you remember how to use it properly. If you're not using it properly, it might not do what you need it to do.
Yep. Familiarize yourself with all of your equipment and refresh your brain. It's been a while since we've used it. And yeah, this kind of goes hand in hand, too. I was going to recommend that we talk a little bit about ice safety. if you're going to be out and about in these type of conditions and you're out on the ice, just be very aware that the conditions can change very quickly throughout the day. They can change within a few feet of where you're walking. So always check that ice thickness and make sure someone knows where you're going in advance. Always check those park conditions. We try to keep them updated on the website for you. You can see each individual park and what their conditions are like, so you'll know how much ice you're dealing with. But all of these things, really good to keep in mind once the season changes, that we're going to have ice to contend with and colder weather and different equipment than we've been using and different animals wandering around. So always good to just be heads up.
Good advice. I'm glad you brought that up because some Thanksgiving weekends, the ice is already hitting hard enough to get on. I doubt it's going to be this year, but it very well could. Sometimes it just takes 2 or 3 days. Next thing you know, it's got a cap on it.
Yeah, I've seen a few of the parks are on their current conditions. It'll say something like, no ice yet. Like, they know it's coming.
They're patiently waiting or impatiently waiting, one of the two.
Yeah, either way. Either way, just be careful out there.
Yeah, and just make sure you have enough under your feet. And you made excellent points that it does change from foot to foot, especially when it's brand new ice. After it's been on a little while, then you start getting more consistent, safe levels beneath your feet. And safe is within quotes there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as safe ice, but it's more likely to be able to hold you. Again, there's springs that could be underneath your feet. There could be wind. It could be eroded from the sun reflecting off the rocks on the sides. There's a lot of things that can go haywire, and just be very cautious when you get out there on the ice.
Yep, all great tips. We just want you to have a great, happy, and safe time.
And I'm sure there's probably going to be some ice fishing tournaments as soon as the ice gets solid. I know State Parks has a tradition of having many ice fishing opportunities, and lately they've been pushing them until after January, just to make sure we got those conditions safe for everyone.
Yeah, which is a good point. I think any of the fishing tournaments that we do have scheduled that are ice fishing will obviously be weather permitting. If the weather doesn't cooperate and we don't freeze over, then probably won't be doing those. But the plan is currently to host quite a few of them. I know Quad Fishathon is coming back and Bear Lakes Monster Winterfest. And I think both of those are happening in January. And I've seen some other posters going around. So I know they're in the works for February. So keep your eyes out.
I'm already smiling. Those are awesome. And another thing coming into the holiday season are those light displays. They decorate many of our state parks with beautiful lights. And some of them you can just take your whole family on a ride through the colors and just get washed over with all the different colors.
We've got a few fun ones this year. And Willard Bay is going to do their Fantasy at the Bay light show again. That's a very popular one. They've announced that that will run December 1st through the 24th this year. I don't have a ton of information yet. They don't have their tickets online, but they should be coming pretty quick here. And if you haven't been to Frontier Homestead State Park, they're doing some fun holiday things this year. There's lights at the homestead, and it's a little more leisurely. You're not in a vehicle or on a sled or anything. It's just a leisurely stroll through the park, but they decorate it. It's really sweet and very magical. But there's probably going to be a lot of decorations for this one, too. It's holidays at the homestead. And just lots of family-friendly activities and some entertainment going on in the evening. So it's a really affordable, festive outing.
Some of these become annual traditions for families, and I look forward to them every year. And again, that's for all ages there. I mean, it kind of puts you back in time a little bit. And it's just fun. I mean, you're getting out there.
That one just sounds so old-timey and fun. And it probably sounds cold to some people, but I think just bundle up and take your hot cocoa with you.
Not bad at all. Those are fun. And there's several other opportunities I know coming up, too, for the holidays.
Oh, all sorts of fun stuff. This is the place, Heritage Park, has their Chris Kindle Market. That, if you're up in the northern part of Utah, that's kind of a well-known tradition for a lot of people. It gets pretty busy up there, but it's just a really fun way to gather and celebrate the season. And also, they give back. There's usually a foundation that they're raising donations for, so they've got kind of a cool mission going.
That is cool. I've been attending that one ever since the first year they came online, and it has grown a lot. You want to catch it on the shoulders if possible if you don't like crowds.
Yeah, if you can go earlier in the day or catch it when it's not as busy. It does get very, very busy, but it's really popular and fun. There's all sorts of great food and entertainment and little booths nestled around, and it's pretty magical.
It brings the holidays from Germany right to your doorstep, and you're going to learn something. If you've never attended a German market before, German Christmas market, you're going to learn something. There's a lot of fun traditions that the Germans typically have, and they do a very good job with this one. They do a really good job with this one.
It's a holiday favorite for a lot of people.
There's a reason why the crowds are there.
Yeah, there really is. It's very popular for a reason. If you haven't been, highly recommend checking it out. It's one you don't want to miss.
And then Camp Floyd.
Yes, Camp Floyd. They're doing Camp Floyd Christmas, and this one's so fun. They say, witness the Yuletide cheer of soldiers celebrating Christmas throughout the park. So they've got their historical commissary and inn decorated with all sorts of Christmas decorations, and Santa will be there. And they do put a warning on this event, though, that the Grinch might be there to steal presents. So keep an eye out if you head there. There's also going to be all sorts of yummy food and a light parade, fireworks. Really just sounds like an all-around awesome day. And that's at Camp Floyd.
Check that one out. They do a great job out there.
They really do. Camp Floyd puts on some fantastic events.
Do they need RSVP or do they show up?
For that one, it doesn't say that registration is required. Let me double check. I don't want to lie to you. No, it's just $5 a person, $15 a family, and you're welcome to reach out to the park if you have any questions, but there's no registration required.
Any other fun opportunities we should be mentioning?
Those are most of the ones I see going on around the state. And then there's also a dark sky full moon hike at Dead Horse Point. So those are really fun if you're into the dark sky stuff. We're getting into the cooler parts of the year where there's not as many of those going on, but there's about a 1 mile hike, and find out what goes bump in the night at Dead Horse Point.
Ooh, I like the way you put that. That is fun. I've been a big fan of these things. I've grown to really love the dark sky opportunities. Again, I learn something new every time. Everyone has a different way of presenting what they see and what you can see, and create a lot of good memories with the family doing that.
Yeah, very unique experience. Really fun.
And if folks are looking for opportunities beyond these, I know things are always coming online. Check out your website.
Yep, check out stateparks.utah.gov. We do have our events calendar on the main page. We try to keep that updated for you, but I just posted our holiday events blog post, so you can go there if you're looking just for the holiday stuff that's going on.
Check out the website, and again, you can get your annual passes there. You can check out the activities. You can make reservations for the campsites. And it won't be long. In reality, it's not very far down the road. We'll be almost on spring camping opportunities to make those reservations.
Yeah, our reservations are on a rolling 4-month basis. So if you're looking at something in May, you'll want to book in like January. So keep an eye on things like that. And remember, if you want a bigger cabin for something coming up in the spring or summer, you want to jump on that in the early part of the year.
Yep, if you're looking for March or April, it's time to sign up for those spots if you got special places to go.
Yep, yeah, and they go fast. People, like, put it in their calendar, and they're really on top of it, so.
I'm not as on top of it as I should be, I guess, but I'm working on it, so.
Well, I think there's still quite a bit of availability out there, even if you're not quite as organized as the people that put it on their calendars months in advance.
And again, like we mentioned earlier, it is really cool that there are more opportunities than there ever have been. So even though you may have a favorite and it might be gone, you may have a new favorite that you may not have discovered yet.
Yeah, you might not know that some of the parks, well, we're pretty much improving constantly throughout the year. There's something going on and bouncing around construction-wise. So keep an eye out, because you might not even know. Like, Echo just had a huge transformation. If you haven't been up to Echo lately, it's really incredible. I'm so impressed with what they've done up there.
I've been so impressed. Utah State Parks has invested in our future and the opportunities that are coming online that we've never dreamed about. One thing I've always been impressed with is that you're always seeking something I'd never even thought of trying. You know, I mean, from slacklining, there's just different opportunities that never existed before at state parks years ago. And you can explore these parks in so many different ways now, more than you ever have before.
Oh, for sure. There's a lot of good people at state parks, and I think they're trying really hard to be innovative and come up with fun and different ways, and also learn from what other states are doing well and what they're not. Kind of cherry pick and see what we can make, see how beautiful we can make Utah. We've already got some amazing state parks here.
No doubt about it. Any favorites or anything you'd like to specially mention for the holidays coming into this last month or two of the year?
I would just say definitely take advantage of the events that are going on near you. You might not have been to some of these smaller events before, or maybe you have. Maybe you haven't been in a while and things have changed a little or been updated. So definitely take the time to check them out. There's something going on all the way from now till January 1st for those first day hikes. But there's plenty on the calendar even past that. But I would highly recommend make some holiday memories at a state park this year.
Appreciate you taking time with us. Lindsay Higbee joining us with Utah State Parks and Recreation. Looking forward to visiting with you soon again.
Oh, likewise. Thanks so much for having me.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hollow State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov. Smoke up some Bonneville whitefish just in time for the holidays. We're bringing out the fillet knife next on Western Life Radio.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? Will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
As we reflect on giving thanks this month, Sportsman's Warehouse would like to say thanks to you. Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Utah and now has stores across the nation. We love being your local outfitter and sharing in your success stories and outdoor adventures. Check us out on the web at Sportsman's Warehouse. Or come visit us, Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside. Celebrate the holidays right with some smoked Bonneville whitefish. Scott Tolentino with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources fires up the smoker.
Bonneville whitefish, they're definitely a unique fish. Not only do they grow pretty good size, and people are excited about that, but they fight really well when you're angling for them. But when it comes down to table fare, they're almost second to none. In fact, my favorite fish to eat out of Bear Lake, and these people, a lot of times they think whitefish, and they're thinking of the whitefish that are found in a lot of the rivers and streams and lakes around the state of Utah. And since they live in a lake, they don't develop a lot of intermuscular bones, and so that makes them really appealing to people who want to put them on the table to eat. And so a little bit different than the river whitefish, and they're very tasty. There's no difference between them and the trout anywhere that you catch out of any other lake. You need to skin the skin off of these, where some people leave the skin from a trout on them, but the scales on whitefish are large. But you fillet them just like you do a trout, but the meat is white, flaky, and it's, like I said, wonderful eating, and people just like to come up and fish for them for sport, too. And so you can do either or. Come up here and enjoy yourself. It's just about any way you would do, like, a white, tender, flaky fish. Anything like tilapia or walleye or wipers, you could use these whitefish out of Bear Lake and do them the same way. So you could either pan fry them, you could deep fry them, you could bread them. You don't really have to bread them and just fry them in butter. And so they go well a whole bunch of different ways. But probably the most popular way, like you mentioned, is smoking them. And they're a wonderful fish.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Utah State Parks has a series of 17 snowmobiling complex maps available. These maps have a description of the trail, difficulty rating, mileage, and GPS coordinates. For your copy, download them from www.snowut.com. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year, and while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Chris Haller with us with Utah's OHV program. We've been talking about the youth snowmobile program for the last little while. What type of skills and what type of educational opportunities are they going to pick up by taking this course?
So what they'll pick up on is obviously personal protective gear, which is vitally important, along with layering. And so when I talk about the personal protective gear, I'm talking about the helmet, the full face, the layering of clothes, which would be good quality insulated over the ankle boots that are waterproof, along with snowmobile bibs, a snowmobile coat that is also water repellent. And then the layering, keeping that base layer and that inner core body temperature close at hand. And then along the same lines of those layering items of how to shift your weight when you're going into a turn or you're going uphill, ensuring that you're giving enough throttle power and that you have enough momentum to go up a hill, to understand that those skis are going to grab in different forms of snow, which we've seen here in Utah. A powder ride is a much more enjoyable ride compared to more of a heavier or wet snow ride experience. They'll also pick up specific Utah laws and rules like education course requirements, registration things, keeping their distance and not harassing or riding close or compromising those wildlife interaction experiences. And in addition to that, avalanche awareness information, trail etiquette, because we do encounter throughout the snowmobile season other people utilizing the trail that may not be into the motorized sport. And so we want to be able to be the ambassador of our motorized sport and ensure that everyone that's accessing our public lands are enjoying it and receiving an experience that they are seeking. And let's try to be very self-aware that whenever we're accessing our lands and being aware that those individuals are seeking a very similar experience, maybe just through a different form. Those are some of the things that they will come across.
first aid kit type stuff, what signs and symptoms are of hypothermia, how to avoid those, not necessarily accessing iced over reservoirs or lakes, because there is no such thing as a safe thick ice assessment. All ice is dangerous. And so those are some of the key principles that they will be taking away from the course.
Sounds like it's an opportunity to learn some critical skills to ensure that they have a fun and safe time this winter. Winter is a lot of fun. It's magical, as both you and I know, but it's also very unforgiving if you're not prepared.
Yes, and as part of that preparedness, as we've mentioned before, you want to take some high-energy food. You want to take plenty of water. You want to let somebody know where you're going and stick to that plan. And so it is important for that to take place.
Again, if folks want to take advantage of these, again, this is not limited just to youth, this course. Anyone can learn something from the course.
Yes, absolutely. Or look at other alternatives that might exist out there through some of our additional resources like the Utah Snowmobile Association on their Motorized Basics course. And that website address, again, for pretty much one-stop shopping is ohv.utah.gov.
ohv.utah.gov. We also have links on our website, folks, at westernliferadio.com. Pop over to the trailhead there, and you can see a link that goes right to them. And a lot of information there. Knowledge is power. And if you know what to avoid and know how to be safe, it just turns into so much better of an experience. Every year we hear about these tragic stories where people have a loss in their family or something else goes seriously wrong. You can avoid some of those if you know what to look for. And the avalanche courses right now are also a big key in avoiding those dangerous conditions.
Yeah, those avalanche courses, obviously, they go into a little bit more of detail of a snow science, but they provide you with wonderful information and great information on what to look for, how to avoid some of those steep slopes, looking at cornices, accessing the avalanche forecast website, the ability to ride within your limits. And so it is a very, very good course to take with those that are thirsty to know more. They give you the skill set of, hey, this is what you're looking for. This is how to utilize the equipment that you have. And all the equipment in the world is good, but it is even better when you know how to utilize it. And so those types of courses provide that background information on what to look for, how to utilize it. And as you put it, Brian, I have additional knowledge in order to help my family, the group I'm riding with, or those less experienced riders that may be joining us for the day.
Exactly. And a lot of these folks are not primarily snowmobile riders. Like you said earlier, these are folks that may be using a snowmobile to get to a point to go cross-country skiing or snowshoeing or some other activity. In recent years, with these bigger, stronger machines, they're getting into places that can be more dangerous. They tend to be more prone for avalanches. They don't get maintained from avalanches. And we need to be aware of those situations before we come into those areas. It's so important to know what you're looking at, know what to avoid. Even the experts get into trouble, even on years when there's very little snow up in those hills.
Yes, that's very true. And also, in conjunction with that, snowmobiles are a little heavier compared to some of the other technology that has come along the way, like placing tracks on UTVs. Of course, most of the UTVs end up staying on the groomed snowmobile trail. Want to throw out a reminder that, hey, when you leave out on a UTV early in the morning, and when temperature is cooler, that UTV is going to stand up a little bit better on the groomed snowmobile trail. Coming back, probably going to create some ruts. And so be aware of that when you're going to a particular location. Obviously, the ability to change out one's off-highway motorcycle into more of a snow sled. I'm not allowed to mention any type of brands, but having that ability to modify your summer off-highway motorcycle into a winter experience, much lighter, and also have the ability to take you further into the backcountry, into some of those other further additional areas that normally motorized recreation hasn't really visited. So, like I said, important to know your ability, where you're going, and share that information with another party. And lastly, also be self-aware that there are wilderness areas that snowmobilers should not be accessing. So familiarize yourself with those open areas, because we really value not having people go into those areas, because what that does is that damages the opportunity for snowmobilers in general. So be aware of those. There's only a half dozen or so around the state. So let's do our part and just avoid those in general.
Exactly. And being knowledgeable about these things, being responsible when you go out in the backcountry, means that we reduce the odds of having search and rescues put themselves in risk to help you and bring your team out.
They are volunteers. Those search and rescue are friends, our neighbors, our relatives. They are volunteers and utilizing their own equipment.
I have so much respect for those folks. I mean, they get up at 3 in the morning to get out there and help someone they don't know. A lot of people would rather be snuggled up in bed, nice and warm, but they're willing to go out there in dangerous conditions to help other folks, and we certainly compliment them. They use their own equipment, like you say, their own time. They take time off of work a lot of times. And nothing but respect for these guys.
Yes, absolutely. And they could be out there all hours of the night in extreme conditions.
Anything we can do to minimize that need certainly is a beneficial thing. And also with the Avalanche Forecast Center, I know that they're gearing up for a lot of other things.
Yeah, every year we've looked at different unique things, and the Friends of the Utah Avalanche Center have been able to coordinate an effort. It's a great opportunity for some of those shops and dealerships and other vendors to be able to educate people on their beacon. That'll be taking place throughout the first week in December as the kickoff of the Utah Avalanche Awareness Week, and will continue thereafter.
I like that. Being safe on top of it, you can't lose.
No, not by all means. And hopefully trying to minimize some of the oversight that may take place in our crazy lives. Here's an opportunity just for that.
Also, really good opportunity right now to start practicing, reminding yourself how to use those beacons. How do you flip the switch over from receive to transmit? How do you find your other beacons under the snow? It's a good time to practice.
It is. You use leaves instead of snow if you have a lot of those around in your neighborhood. And as we continue to get snow in some of those higher elevations, some of those avalanche beacon check stations are currently up and running. And so that's a great way. And then, of course, you have those different test areas along the way that people can go and check and refamiliar themselves with their equipment.
Fantastic. Chris, we certainly want to thank you for all your service over these years. It's been a lot of fun visiting with you in all these different capacities that you've been in. It's been remarkable. Compliments to you all the way.
And the feeling is mutual. Thank you so much, Brian, for the friendship, the love given to us, and saying, hey, you want to do an interview on this? Or, wow, I didn't know about that. Or, you definitely have offered that and have been one of the greatest supporters the program has. And thank you and your family, because I just know it's just not you. Your family has shown up to a lot of our different events and have been there supporting us and some of those different outreach events.
They love it. It's a joy on both sides, I think. Appreciate all that you do. Again, Trailhead one more time.
OHV.utah.gov.
Chris Howler joining us once again at the Trailhead with Utah's OHV program. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Brian.
trout in Bear Lake Cutthroat will soon be biting hard during the next few weeks. We're catching some lunkers next on Western Life Radio.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov. Bear Lake Cutthroat and Lake Trout will soon be feeding fast as the whitefish spawn gets underway. Scott Tolentino with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources changes up the tackle.
Not only do you get to target whitefish on a fairly rocky, concentrated rocky habitat, but you have cutthroat trout and lake trout out in Bear Lake, and they're feeding at that time of the year. The lake trout runs over, and the cutthroat trout are getting fat before winter, and so they're in on that habitat trying to eat whitefish eggs. But that brings in the cutthroat trout and lake trout, which are eating those other small fish, and so don't be surprised to catch quite a few cutthroat or lake trout when you're in there fishing for whitefish, which makes it really exciting, because if you're going to do, like I said, and use light tackle, that could be some pretty good fighting along there. And you hook into a big 7 or 8 pound cutthroat or 10 to 15 pound lake trout on 6 pound test line, it could be a good time. If you want to try to fish those same areas that people are fishing for whitefish, and you're not interested in, say, catching whitefish per se, you can go with a little bit heavier tackle and cast a little bit larger spinner, spoons, anything that makes a little bit of noise and rattle. So there's a lot of crankbaits with BBs in them that rattle when you're reeling them in, or some of these Vibrac spinners, when you're reeling them in, they click or clank in the water. That really attracts the predator fish at this time of the year, and they like really aggressive lures like that.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside. Be safe this winter driving season. Make sure your car is in proper working condition and is stocked with blankets, warm clothing, booster cables, a fire extinguisher, and tools. Also, be sure to include bottled water, high-calorie snacks, a first aid kit, flashlights and batteries, a shovel, and ice scraper. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Exploring the west. blessed with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Wild and free, the song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild and free, in the great western wildlands, discover the backcountry.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.